Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star Fam? That was DJ Cosmonique. You don't even know. Wake up, Angels, and all track. And in fact, I'm going to be playing that whole track throughout the show tonight because it's actually 12 minutes long, which fits the program music perfectly. So we'll be hearing more of that later on the show. And what is up, Star Fam? Thank you for tuning in to Star Synergy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights to hear the colors and see the music. And I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, July 1st, 2011. Today is also the new moon and solar eclipse in Cancer. So tonight at 4:53 a.m. Eastern Time is the exact new moon solar eclipse. So if you are up at those hours, check it out. And just a little background on this new moon. This is the third eclipse within the last 30 days, and it is triggering necessary changes. The new moon is the time for rebirth, new beginnings, a clean slate, planting new seeds, and is the perfect time to revisit existing goals or begin new ones. This eclipse shakes up our world and creates necessary changes within and outside ourselves needed to clear our path and help us grow. These changes may seem dramatic, harsh, and sudden, and may provoke fear, anger, confusion, and frustration. But this is a time where we can make big changes depending upon our reaction to this energy. And we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. Things are definitely going to be shaken up in these coming months. So now is the time to set your intentions, say them out to the world, say them out to the universe, say them out loud, because our angels and star friends can't help us if they don't hear us. So use that law of attraction this month hardcore, because this is the month to really get things done and start new projects. And joining me on the show tonight is Peter Voltaggio. He is the co-creator of the business Vitalizer, and that has been seen on ABC, CBS, CNBC, and Fox News. And he's also an award-winning for being one of the most sought-out businessmen consultants in the world today for Fortune 500 companies. And he's going to be talking to us tonight about his new book, Business Lessons from an Alien. So check that out, businesslessonsfromanalien.com. And we'll be speaking with Peter a little later in the show. Now, as always, we're going to go over the news and updates. But first, I just wanted to talk about last week's show. It was a little confusing, and we are rescheduling Michael Elejon to come over in a few weeks. I was actually out of town on a trip to New York, which was an amazing trip, and spent a party and the weekend at Alex Gray's house at Cosm, and went with Pancho, the Crystal Skull, to a couple ceremonies and traveled the circuit with them for a couple days and just had an amazing time, as well as I did some grid work in Times Square. I laid out a crystal grid and just had an amazing time, ran into a lot of friends, and did a lot of light work while I was there. So I was very fortunate and blessed to go out there. And I also posted some videos up on YouTube. So if you YouTube Jonah Bolt, you'll see a couple videos there. And one of the videos I posted is a real close friend of mine, Fred, who does a little freestyle. And if you check out a minute and 37 seconds in the video, when he says flames, you'll see the flames of the sun. And when he says sun, you will see the sun. And nothing is by chance. He is definitely an enlightened being, and he's moving up. So check that out on YouTube. Now going into the news and updates around the world. Now we've been talking about the Fukushima disaster and other nuclear things for a while now. And I've mentioned several times that there has been nuclear alerts here in the U.S., especially Nebraska, which I just spoke about two weeks ago and also a few weeks before that. There have been 8 U.S. nuke sites with problems in the last 2 months, 8 of them, which none of them have been on mainstream news. And as of yesterday, there is the massive wildfires in New Mexico that is threatening to ignite 300,000 barrels of plutonium at a waste site in New Mexico. Now, this information can be found. I found 3 articles I'm going to talk about right here, and all 3 of them have a little different information on this. But this is really happening. The threats are real. There's a nuclear weapons facility in New Mexico that is the EPA has on radiation alert. So the article is Fukushima in the U.S., flood berms break around Fort Calhoun nuclear plant, 10-mile evacuation zone declared. So there's been a 10-mile evacuation zone around a nuclear site here in the U.S., and it's pretty quiet on the news, on the airways. I haven't heard much about it. And this is what we talked about with the Mississippi floodwaters. When it's flooding, they put these nuclear reactors on rivers because the river's water is used to cool the cooling pods. Now, when the rivers are flooded like they have been and they still are rising in the Mississippi, they are not being cooled, and they're actually being backed up. And if you do not cool these fuel rods after a certain amount of time, they go into meltdown. The other article is headed U.S. Orders News Blackout Over a Crippled Nebraska Nuclear Plant. Well, that one's pretty self-obvious. Go figure. The U.S. orders blackout on anything that they don't want the American public to see. And the third article is titled Fire at Nebraska's Nuke Plant Injures Worker. Now, 2 of these were found on local news channels, which were just little couple-minute videos. You can actually YouTube and see a couple more videos on it, or just Google it. But a fire yesterday at the embattled Nebraska nuclear plant sent one worker to the hospital with severe burns, according to reports from local media. The American public is largely being kept in the dark about the escalating Midwest flood disaster, which has now been further intensified by reports that a major nuclear plant near Omaha, Nebraska, has been breached. That's what I've been talking about, and a lot of others have been talking about. According to this report, the Fort Calhoun nuclear plant suffered a catastrophic loss of cooling to one of its idle spent fuel rods. That's what's happening. They're being idle right now because the river is flooded, and they don't have that flow to cool them. And this is as of June 7th, after this plant was deluged with water caused by the historic flooding of the Missouri River, which resulted in a fire causing the Federal Aviation, the FAA, to issue a no-fly ban over the area as well. And located about 20 minutes outside the downtown Omaha, the largest city is Nebraska. And the Fort Calhoun nuclear plant is owned by Omaha Public Power District, who on their website denies that the plant is at a level 4 emergency by stating, "This terminology is not accurate and is not how emergencies at nuclear power plants are classified." And that was a quote. Well, that's actually a lie, because every nuclear agency on the planet is under the guidelines of the International Nuclear and Radiology Event Scale, the INES, which clearly states that, quote-unquote, events are occurring at the Fort Calhoun nuclear power plant do indeed put it at a level 4 emergency. And with that, that puts it as one of the worst nuclear accidents in U.S. history. So we have a level 4, one of the worst accidents in nuclear history, going off right now with a 10-mile radius zone cleared from around it, and the news is silent. So this is just something to, you know, put out there that we are not living in the government or the country, the free country that we think we are. So these are things to be aware of. Another story that caught my eye, the FDA now admits that breast implants only last 10 years and have to be removed in all women. Now, this is something that I've seen a lot on lately, because there's a lot of problems that have come from breast implants, and this is all across the board. And now you have the actual FDA admitting that the implants have to be removed and replaced. It just goes to show you, just like we've talked about in the show, the shoe x-ray machines that were used in the 20s and 30s to measure people's feet. They used x-ray machines, and most of the shoe salesmen who were in the 20s and 30s died from cancer. Same thing as the TSA body scanners now in the airports. You think they're safe? They're shooting out beams and they're using radiation, and the testing that was done on those was fake. There's lots of information on that, so Google that. These things that the government introduces, they just introduce them and they say whatever they have to say to get them out. So the FDA now admits that. Even Time Magazine, if you check out Time Magazine this month, the front cover, July 4th, is even admitting the plan for this nation, which is a nation that is being purposely collapsed in so many different ways. So things to be aware of, you know, the time is now to start planning for these things. Talking about the weather, a freak cold weather grips southern Brazil in Rio de Janeiro, where the southern parts of Brazil, which is a tropical country, have been stricken by cold snap since Monday, driving down temperatures to record low levels and bringing snow to some of the areas. AKA, another name for this article is pole shift. It's the pole shift. It's all part of it. We've talked about it before. The North Pole has left the building. So this is all part of the weather patterns that all over the world has seen, record-breaking numbers or something that is record-breaking fires or record-breaking floods. And this will continue up until and probably after 2012. Missouri River breaches levee in southwest Iowa. And this is what we're talking about with the river is still flowing. And here's just another article that talks about another levee that was broken because of the overflowing of the Missouri River. And this one forced out evacuations and closing parts of Interstate 29. And it was a big evacuation. And these things are still happening continuously every day. Evacuations, farmlands being flooded. And you don't hear this on the news. You hear about Kaylee Anthony and Dancing with the Stars and all the other programming that they play on TV. NATO also agrees to extend Libya air war for another 90 days. Well, that's great for all the people that have forgotten about the wars. NATO has agreed to extend its Libyan air war by 3 months and dismiss charges by Muammar Gaddafi's regime that the bombing campaign has already killed almost 800 civilians. And remember Obama's on March 18th, his little speech he gave, he quote-unquote said that Libya action would last days, not weeks, and here we are months later. So another headliner, U.S. rejects Pakistani demand to leave the airbase. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Pakistan wants us out of there. And today they are kicking the U.S. out of there, or trying to kick the U.S. out of there. And this is fresh off public demand by the Pakistani defense minister that the United States must immediately vacate the Shamazi Air Base. It's a small airfield in Pakistan, but it's a vital airfield because most of the troops and supplies for Afghanistan have to come through this airfield. Now, this could get very ugly very quickly. And at present time, some massive unintended consequences to this military could happen because of it. Because when things like this happen, then the next day you'll have retaliation and stuff like that. These are things to be aware of, because these are the things you need to, at night, to meditate on and put your love and intent to and send your light and love to, because We all need each other all around the world. And these situations are happening. They're going to happen more and more and more. These aren't situations to be fearful of, to stick your head in the ground. These are situations you need to be aware of so you could send love and light and healing to these places. And that's why we talk about them on the show. And the U.S. is still flying hundreds of strike missions against Libya. Hundreds. They're dropping hundreds of bombs. And also today, the U.S. extends its drone strikes to Somalia now. As if Pakistan and Afghanistan, Iraq, and everything else wasn't enough, we have now extended our drone strikes to the sixth country now, over in the Middle East. So now we're in a war campaign with six countries. Now, you have to look at why we're going into Somalia now, because as so many of these military misadventures in which the U.S. is currently embroiled in, like Somalia, is not about welfare of the people, it's not about protecting people. It's about what is in the country. So just to give you a little information on what is in Somalia and what Somalia's natural resources are, they have uranium and largely exploited reservoirs of iron, ore, tin, gypsum, copper, salt, natural gas, and oil reservoirs. So now we're in Somalia doing drone strikes. So it just keeps spreading, and the American people are totally left out of it. And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse because most of the American people are fast asleep to what is going on. And that's why it's so important to get the information that we talk about here out there, because that was in the Washington Post. I get these articles from not crazy conspiracy websites. I get most of them from the news in little sections. They're not mainline news. They don't want these articles going mainline, but they're out there if you look for them. Gerald Celente, who I talk about all the time, he is awesome. He works with trends. He is a trends forecaster, one of the top in the world. And his article article about him is titled Gerald Celente, the IMF, the International Mafia Federation. Amen to that, Gerald. And we talked about this, the draconian austerity measures that were being tried to be put implemented on Greek. Well, the Greece parliament has just passed the plan for the new austerity draconian measures. So now they're having riots and the police are cracking down. You got to see these YouTube videos. And there's 500,000 people took to the streets yesterday to protest this, because we talked about this. The draconian austerity measures are to break down a system. They are not to help a system. This bailout is to break down the system. And who pays for some of this? 16% of American tax dollars go to it, or 6%, one of them. But some of our tax money goes directly to the IMF, which is country by country, quote unquote, bailing them out and bankrupting them. That's why 500,000 people went to the streets to protest this. The government is not listening, and there you go, protests. And this is just going to get worse and worse. We talked about this in Spain and Ireland and other countries around the world. Another interesting article, baby boomers fueling boom in knees and hip surgeries. This talks about how knee replacement surgeries have doubled over the last decade and more than tripled in 45 to 64-year-old age group. And new research shows that fluoride could be responsible for this, for the poisoning. It's basically poisoning us. Now, I'm going to talk about fluoride in just a minute and get a little bit deeper fluoride, because I actually found a really awesome article that was sent to me by a friend of mine. It was on naturalnews.com, and I'm going to actually read most of that article in a minute. But this article just came out. I just found this today, and it talks about the fluoride being a possible poisoning for the baby boomers, which are now having hip replacements, and why everyone feels bad. It's not the fun fluoride that our parents gave us, my mother gave me the bubblegum fluoride. Yay, bubblegum fluoride, it's so good for you. No, it's not. It's not. It's a lie. And they've been lying to us since the 40s when they first started the fluoride campaign to be added to our water. And we'll get into that in a minute. So here's a news flash for all the people, all the baby boomers. Stop eating those pills that you're trying to eat to make you feel better. And try to stop drinking all the fluoride water. Try those two things and get that crap out of your system, and you might feel a whole lot better. Or try some zero-point energy. There's a lot of zero-point energy tools out there. Google zero-point energy and see what other tools are out there that can be used to get this chemtrails and fluoride and all this other GMOs that they're poisoning us with out of your system. So check that out, zero-point energy, and get some tools to help you with this. And I can guarantee you will feel a lot better. Now on to some amazing news that I just heard last week while I was in New York. I was attending a water ceremony with Mario, the keeper of Pancho, one of the ancient crystal skulls, and he talked about Bolivia. Bolivia has just passed the world's first laws granting all nature equal rights to humans. It's called the Law of Mother Earth. It's now agreed by petitions and grassroots social groups in the country, and this redefines the country's rich mineral deposits as blessings and is expected to lead to new radical conservation and social measures to reduce pollution and control in this industry in that country. And this is quite amazing. You have to check this out. So Google Bolivia, the Law of Mother Earth, and check this out. Now the Bolivian president is doing a world tour. He's trying to launch a thing for the UN Council and other world leaders to get on board with this. And just to give you a little bit of information about what this actually is, as he's promoting it, that this bid he's trying to promote to the UN is to recognize the Earth as a living entity that humans have sought to dominate and exploit it, and to point that the well-being and existence of many beings is now threatened. And that's all he's trying to get the people to recognize, is that Mother Earth is an entity and is alive just like a human. Now, the different wording and the policies are still being worked out, but this has passed, and now the Bolivian president, Evo Morales, is traveling around and talking to the world leaders, and this is awesome. This is awesome. The document also speaks of the country's natural resources as blessings, and they basically, what they do is give them the same rights. Now, the country Bolivia itself has been basically pillared by the U.S. and Britain and the U.N. for climate talks, you know, for demanding steep carbon emissions and other, amongst other things, that Bolivia is such a bad country. But this is really goes to show you what kind of people and what's going on and what kind of government it is. They just passed this, and this established law basically gives 11 new rights for nature. And just to read you a couple of them, check these out. One of them includes the right to life and to exist, the right to continue vital cycles and processes from human alteration, the right to pure water and clean air, the right to balance, the right to not to be polluted, and the right not to have cellular structure modified or genetically altered. Wow. Wow. I wish someone in our country could pass something like this. But we know that's not going to happen because this country is run by corporations and greed, and this current system will not allow something like this. So this does make world history, and Earth is the mother to all. So pay attention, because Bolivia is going to be on the map very, very soon, and I hope to help get it on the map, because that is what's up, for real. I wish the vice president of our country or president of our country could do something like that. And when I first heard of this, when I was with Mario and Pancho up at NYC, it was just like a chill went over my body, because this, I believe, is what's going to be happening all over the world. It's the 100 monkey effect. Once we get to enough of our star fam and enough people out there to the truth, then it's the 100 monkey effect. So awesome, awesome information, and big up to the Bolivian government, for real, because you guys are really paving the way to a real, real society, and that's what's up. So on to the fluoride. Now, this article is really, truly amazing. I'm going to read some of it, and I'm going to post the rest of it on Starseed Energy Radio. And the article basically is titled, "A Fluoride-Free Pineal Gland is More Important Than Ever." And I picked this article to talk about it for a little bit, because it's a very easy article to read to get a background on what fluoride is, what the pineal gland is, how it affects the pineal gland, and how the pineal gland is so important for this 2012 shift. So first off, let's talk about the two different types of fluoride. You have the calcium fluoride, which appears naturally in underground water supplies and is relatively not poisonous at all. However, too much of it consumed on a daily can lead to bone or dental problems, but it's not nearly as bad as the other type of fluoride, which we'll talk about in a second. So calcium is used to counter fluoride poisoning when it occurs, and there is calcium fluoride in there, so it sort of evens itself out. This redeeming factor indicates that the calcium and naturally formed calcium fluoride neutralizes much of the fluoride's toxic effect. So it sort of has a balance effect on it, equals its other out. Now, on the other hand, the type of fluorides that we're drinking, that's in our water supply, and it is here in North Carolina, is a different kind of fluoride. This is the kind that you find in sodas and in foods and in waste products. And what this fluoride is made from his waste products of the nuclear, aluminum, and now mostly the phosphate fertilizer industries. The EPA has classified these as toxins. You have fluorosalicate acid, sodium sulfate fluoride, and sodium fluoride. You probably see sodium fluoride in a lot of things. For this article, the term sodium fluoride will include all three types. So when I read about this and I talk about sodium fluoride, we're talking about all three types. And according to a new scientific study done several years ago, comparative toxicity of fluoride compounds, industry waste sodium fluoride, are 85 times more toxic than natural occurring calcium fluoride. So why would they use natural? I mean, not that it's good, that good anyways, it's still bad for you, but why would they just use the natural occurring calcium fluoride? Why? Because they want to give us 85 times more worth of toxins for our body. Now, generally, most fluoride entering the body is not easily eliminated, and it tends to accumulate in the body's bones and teeth. Recently, it has been discovered to accumulate even more in the pineal gland located in the middle of the brain. This consequence of dental fluorosis, which seriously harms teeth from daily fluoridation, has been documented. Yet the American Dental Association continues beating a dead horse, promoting fluoride like it's all good, just like I remember when I was a kid with the bubblegum fluoride. Yay, bubblegum fluoride, it's so good. No, it's not. So the flood of sodium fluoride in our water and food supply also creates other more serious health problems that are not widely publicized and even suppressed. Nevertheless, in addition to fluorosis, independent labs and reputable researchers have linked the following issues with daily long-term intake of sodium fluoride, which most of us have because mostly everyone in the country drinks from their tap water or water supply. So these are some of the things that have been proven to be associated with fluoride that's in our drinking water. Cancer, genetic DNA damage, thyroid disruption affecting the complete system leading to obesity, neurological, which is diminished the IQ, the inability to focus, lethargy and weariness, Alzheimer's disease, and also melatonin disruption, which lowers your immunity to cancer, accelerates your aging, and sleeping disorders. And last but not least, your pineal gland. Your pineal gland and the calcification of it, which clogs this gland located in the middle of the brain. So, those are some of the things that the fluoride, which is in our yummy water supply in mostly all the states here in the beautiful U.S., is not good for you. According to investigative journalist, author of Fluoride Deception, Christopher Bryson, getting large quantities of sodium fluoride into the water and food system was a ploy of public relations sponsored by the industries who are saddled with getting rid of the toxic materials. So they take the toxic materials and they break it down and they put it in our water supply. Fluoride was necessary for the processing of enriching of uranium. The pro-fluoride propaganda was stated during the Manhattan Project to create the first atom bombs in the 1940s. The spin was to convince workers and locals where the largest nuclear plant was located in Tennessee that fluoride was not only safe, it was good for the kids' dental plan. So this big whole scam about fluoride was started in the 1940s just to trick everyone to put nuclear power plants in neighborhoods. So in the early 1950s, notorious spin master and father of advertising, Edward Bernays, continued the campaign for adding fluoride to the water supplies as an experimental and engineering human consent. Then the AMA picked up the dental issue and endorsed sodium fluoride's addition to water supplies. The few dissenting health issues, studies, and reports usually squashed, those dissenting voices were dismissed as quacks regardless of the credentials. So basically, you speak out about fluoride, and like everything else truthful in this country, you just get laughed at that you're a crazy government conspiracy. So as always, it's just another thing to be aware of. This fluoride is very important to the calcification of the pineal gland, which has something very, very big to play into the role of what's happening in this upcoming shift. The good news is that one of the ways to get rid and help you with the fluoride is frequent exposure to outdoor sunshine. That's right. 20 minutes or so a day at a time will help stimulate a fluoride calcified pineal gland. Just make sure that you take off your hat or whatever you have in your head because you want your top of your head, your third eye, to actually be hitting the sun. Now, this is more important than most realize because the pineal gland affects so much other than just the brain, but it also promotes enzymes and endocrine activity inducing melatonin production. So you want that melatonin producing. Now, we talk about why this is important for the 2012 shift. Well, first, if you have a little bit of background about what's happening in the Mayan prophecies and all that stuff, you will know how important the third eye is. And connecting the pineal gland to this 12,012 matter is also discussed in this article. So you got to check this article out. It goes all into more about fluoride and all the sources that were used to put this article together. You got LouRockwell.com, NewsWithViews.com, NewMediaExplorer.com, DemocracyNow.com, and Dramadian.com, which is INGRIDNAIMAN.com. You have CircleOf12.blogspot.com, and you have FluorideDebate.com. So for all the naysayers out there that are still like, oh, fluoride's good, yay, fluoride, check those articles out. Fluoride's not good. Get it out of your toothpaste and stop drinking your water. And that's pretty much it. We're wrapping up the news and the updates, and I'm going to play another little sample from You Don't Even Know, and joining us when we get back is Peter Voltaggio. So here you go with Wake Up Angels. You could be an angel.
How can you prove that you're not? How can you prove it? Prove to me that you're not angels. Prove to me that you're not angels.
Prove to me that you're not no angels.
Angels in disguise. Not knowing who or what you are. You've lost your way. You've lost your way. Wake up, angel. Wake up, angel. You've lost your way. You don't even know who you are. You'd better wake up. You've lost your way. You don't even know who you are.
The universe sent me to converse with you.
The universe commands you to rise.
The universe commands you to rise. The universe commands you to rise to the sky.
The universe commands you to rise to the sky.
The universe commands you to rise to the sky.
The universe commands you to rise to the star.
And welcome back. You're tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And joining me on the line right now is Peter with his new book that he wrote. And we're going to talk about pretty much about the book and also some other questions I have for Peter. And the book is Business Lessons from an Alien. And Peter, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jonah.
Absolutely. And we were just talking a little bit on the air just briefly just now, and you talked about how you stopped fluoride almost 20 years ago, correct?
Don't have a need for it.
That's right. And it's amazing that you had the information 20 years ago, and so many of us are just finding out this information now. So good stuff. Good stuff that you were aware of this 20 years ago, because so many people are not. And on to your book. Now, this book, Business Lessons from an Alien, is a book geared more towards the corporate world and companies, you know, that you have been involved with and managed and have been called in to help manage their systems and people. Now, but anyone can pretty much benefit from this book reading it, correct?
Absolutely. It's about it's about anybody that has anything to do with any type of organization, regardless of what size it is.
Now, why do you think this book is so relevant for today that you came out with it at this time?
Well, we need a paradigm shift in businesses. People are saying it's broken. Our institutions are broken. The government's broken, and our social system is our justice system is broken. And businesses, there are all sorts of complaints about what they're doing and how they're not able to make it, and they're They're using fear and intimidation. But the problem is that the solutions that we are working on are just better versions of what we've had, and that's because the paradigm is still the same thing. We've been using the same business model for the last 100 years, and organizations have been structured off of an old military hierarchical system, and we need a new model, and that's what the book presents.
That's awesome, and that's exactly correct, and we are shifting to a new paradigm and a new way of business. Now, can you tell us about like some of the activation codes that you talk about in the book? What exactly are those?
They are the mechanisms in order to activate the new paradigm, the new way of actually functioning. You see, if we keep working within the same type of thinking, we're going to keep coming up with these same solutions. So what we need is to break out of the model, as the book talks about, or actually as the alien in the book explains, that we've been using a mechanical, Newtonian, linear cause and effect type of model, and we're having to evolve to more of an energy relationship type of model. So rather than looking at organizations like a machine or an engine that's made up of parts, we have finance, we have marketing, we have our operations, and they're just parts, and we move them around, and we move people around because we see it as a machine. Now, what we don't see are all the energetic connections that are made, that social equity and bonding that gets created inside of organizations. But if you look at it with the lens of how to see an organization as a social entity made up of living, breathing, thinking people, all of a sudden you go, it's not a machine. And I can't sit there and relocate and downsize and outsource and insource and upsize and do all of these types of traumas to the organization. It's as ludicrous as saying, you know what, I'm going to re-engineer the body. I'm going to put the heart over here and the intestines, I'm moving up there. We don't do that, but yet we do it for organizations.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct, and I think that this book is an excellent model for so many people, as well as in the spiritual community, for this this upcoming paradigm, this upcoming shift. And can you tell us one of the activation codes that are in the book that you talk about?
Sure. So one of them, for example, is purpose. I just had this conversation yesterday with a director of a Fortune 100 organization who said that they're having a real problem with one of the change initiatives. Well, that's not a surprise. Less than half of all the change initiatives in the corporate world don't succeed. And there's reasons that are very evident if you look at it through the eyes that this alien in the book is showing us of how to look at an organization. But if you look at it as a mechanical model, it's not a big deal. And you don't understand how come it's not working. It's just the blame is always on, well, it's a budget thing or it's a, but it actually isn't. It goes much deeper than that. And the activation code, which is the one that I shared with this director, is I asked him, if I went to every one of the people that is part of this change initiative, you're trying to move a good part of your organization and change it, what would they tell me if I asked them what the purpose of this change initiative was? And he says, I have no idea. I said, well, some of them would answer me, right? He says, well, some of them would, yeah. I said, would they give me the same answer? He said, absolutely not. I said, well, there's your problem. The activation code is, until we rally around the same intent, until we understand what the real purpose is of what it is that we're doing, the rest of the work that you're doing that he thought was very advanced, he was getting into strategy work, and they were hammering out a mission statement, and they were designing a vision for it. But if the seed of where change comes from is purpose, and you don't know what that is, who cares what kind of picture you're painting out there? We can all go after it, and then when things get rough and push comes to shove, we're all confused, and we don't know why are we doing this, and why are we here, and why do we exist, and why this, and why now, and why all the whys come out. Well, guess what answers the why? The purpose activation code. You fire that up, now we've got the right intent. Now we can all be off and running in the same direction.
And that's exactly it. You just said it. It's all about the intent. And basically, you're simplifying these things for people. You're taking everybody back to the basics, to where you get the people involved in the company and the people's involvement and their intent to make any project go forward. If you have everyone rallied together, like you said, it will definitely work, because that's how the universe works, with the law of attraction. And in these programs that you offer corporations, you have a lot of research and you bring in neuroscience and other things. Was this book influenced by any of that?
Oh, absolutely. The brain, for example, my background is I trained as a biomedical engineer, but then got into management very early in my career and took off with management studies in organization development. My master's is in human resource and organization development, but I still maintained my interest in the biomedical engineering field, in particular neuroscience. And neuroscience now, which we've learned more in the last 10 years than we have in the whole history of the science, thanks to neuroimaging equipment now, we're able to actually look at the brain while it's functioning because of fMRIs and EEGs and PET scans and so on. And what we've learned is that if the brain is not fed the data, if it doesn't get the ingredients that it needs to feed the reasoning part of our mind, it will whatever you are doing at a behavioral level will not tap into the motivation centers in the brain. I mean, we can actually see that if it's not stimulated, if your prefrontal cortex, which is where the executive orders take place, are not active, then you're just working off of some form of habit, some kind of routine, or just off of an emotional impulse. But when times get tough, like what we're experiencing right now, you don't have what it takes to make conscious choices. And so everything becomes just a crapshoot. And we blame it on external factors. So what we're teaching is in alignment with what we know from neuroscience, from social neuroscience and cultural neuroscience, of these new branches of brain studies that say, hey, you know what? There are some basics that every social animal's brain needs, and we're at the top here of a cognition of capability of all the brains that we know that's out there in the animal kingdom. And we need to feed it, just like you feed the body. We've got to feed the brain with what it needs at an emotional level, at a mental level, so that we can get the behaviors where they need to be, but they're made by conscious choices. And I think that's part of what you do and what you're doing with your radio show, is to help people open up to their conscious mind and start questioning, why do I have this particular belief? What's the purpose of what I'm doing, or my purpose? Why am I here? Why do I exist? What do I bring? What would the world be missing if I didn't exist? That's what we're doing in organizations, and that's that activation code, and it's supported by brain science. Hey, why does this organization exist? Why does this department exist? Why does this team exist? And if you can't answer that, then we'll need to get rid of you, because that's what the body does. The body will clear out circuits in your brain if you don't use them. It's called synaptic pruning. If it doesn't need it, it recycles it. So same thing in the organization. And so what's left is what's living, what's breathing, what's thriving, and that's what we need right now. We don't need things just to fill in boxes and have these structures and follow old rules of before. We need people challenging the old rules so that we can get into the 21st century organization.
That's exactly it. It is about challenging these old rules and implementing new ones like this, because everything you're saying is exactly how things should be and exactly to where we're headed to. So let's say I've read the book and I'm thinking, like, I need to bring some of these activation codes back down to earth and implement these. How would I do that from a personal standpoint?
Well, one of the activation codes is pertinent information. Now, what that means is, people are, and I've been on many a show that is all about transformation and about changing yourself, self-improvement, and so on. But the problem is that people are constantly seeking this external information to try and improve and change. But if what's missing is the not so much new information, but pertinent information. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's not so much what you are bringing in new as it is what you are taking out. So in order for new information to find a place to have transformational change, it can't be received with old information, old assumptions, old beliefs still in there, because the way the brain works is it will try and retrofit what's new into what it already knows is reality. If you change the assumptions and beliefs, and you do that by a process of challenging them, like we talk about in the book, like Brian, the alien in the book, tells you to do, to question them, if the brain cannot support, I don't know why I have that particular assumption about this situation or circumstance or fact in life, I don't know why I believe that, then it automatically weakens it. Now, once you get good at doing this, and I have people do this on a regular basis, then your brain starts to question pretty much just about anything, and what it can't support, it gets rid of. Now, what that does is it creates the space, it creates the vacuum for new information to come in. Otherwise, if the cup is full, you can pour anything you want into it, it's not going in. And so pertinent information is one of the activation codes, and we use it in organizations, but you can use it in your own personal life throughout your day as you get a surge of emotion to question it. Why am I having this particular undercurrent of feeling around whatever you're involved in, whatever happened to you, whatever somebody may have said to you, whatever you may have heard on the news? What made that emotion happen? And there's an assumption there. There's something that wasn't met. And so you, how do I have that? Where did I get that? And chances are it'll go all the way back to earlier in life, and you're going to go, well, does that serve me today? Is that an assumption that's helpful now? Is that a belief that I need today to get to where I want to get to? And it might not be. So you can't support it. Your brain starts to tear it down. Now when you pick up something new, there's space for it to come in.
And that's so important, because even myself with my guides, I've been told just clear your space of every day of everything that does not serve you, and it makes a world of a difference. And now, when I spoke to you a few weeks ago, originally you had talked about how a lot of people from the spiritual community has told you that this book was quote unquote channeled. What do you feel about that? What does channeling mean to you? What do you think about that?
Well, what kicked that off is people that are regular listeners of programs like Coast to Coast, and they've said, you know, there have been people on the program that have described a planet that they have visited through their means, through their dreams, through their ability to transport and so on, and it sounds a lot like the planet that Blion's from. This Blurius is the name of the planet. Did you go there yourself? And I say, I am not conscious of having gone there. They said, well, gotcha. It sounds like you channeled this information, because it's the same thing that they're saying. And this was, they could not have read my book, and I don't know of these people that were having this talk. So,
sure.
Our paths didn't cross, and that's what started the whole conversation, saying, so did this come from someplace else? And I say, well, I leave that up to you. This is a means of applying lessons, learnings that I have received that is put in a way that the average reader can listen and get something out of, not just from one reading, but multiple readings. I've had readers contact me to say, every time I read this book, I can relate to a different character in the book. There's at one point when I first started, I thought, yeah, right, this is okay. It's a fun read, but I can't believe a lot of this stuff. Second time I read it, going, you know, there might be something to it. Now I'm relating to Mertz. Mertz is the one who's a bit more open to this. Next time I read it, I'm interested in what the scientist on this crew is talking about, because now I'm like really intrigued. Is there really some science to support some of this information? And that's what Deborah, the astrophysicist in the book, talks about. She says, hey, folks, this isn't all made up. We actually have some science from our planet Earth that talks
Absolutely.
About this. And they're going, well, you know, we're way out here in this other universe on this other who knows where, and they don't play by the same rules. And you're telling me that back down on Earth, we actually have some science to support this? How come we're not doing it? Well, because we're all stuck in some old beliefs.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And with that, we're going to have to wrap up. And again, your website for the book is you have a couple websites, but the first one for the book is businesslessonsfromanalien.com. And you also have a couple other sites as well?
I do. But to get the book, that would be the best site, is the businesslessonsfromanalien.com, yes.
Okay, so anyone who wants to see the book or find out more information on Peter, check that out. And one last question for you, Peter. Peter, do you have any crystals or any stones that you work with?
I have them in my office and I have them in my home. And I have always been fascinated by crystals. I do happen to believe that science hasn't yet allowed itself to get there, that there are that there is information that is stored in them. I mean, we use them to build radios, and we use them in our all of our electronics uses them. I think there's more to it. I do use them.
Awesome, good. Well, Peter, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'd love to have you again on in the future, and good luck with the book and everything.
And, I would love to. And Jonah, if your audience would like to get onto Facebook, Blion, the alien, actually does have a Facebook page. You can look him up on Blion, and we can continue the conversation there.
Cool, there you go. So check that out on Facebook. And with that, I'm going to play a little bit more of DJ Cosmonique, Wake Up Angels.
The universe commands you to rise to the sky. The universe commands you to rise to the stars. The universe commands you to rise to the sky. The universe commands you to rise to the sky. The universe commands you to rise to the sky. You think that a man can give up his life? You think that a man can give up his life? Do you think a man can give up his life to save humanity?
To save humanity?
Is that what you think? Humanity, if you want to live, you've got to give up your death. You've got to give up your death. If you want to live, you have to give up your death. Give up your life and give up your death. Give up both of them so you can live, live, live. Give up both of them. Anybody can give up their life. Why don't you give up your death? Why don't you do the impossible thing and give up your death?
Why don't you do the impossible thing?
Anybody can give up their life. Anybody can give up their life. Give up your life. And give up your death too. And become an immortal being. Give up your life. And give up your death. And become an immortal being. The universe sent us to converse with you. The universe.
And welcome back, Star Fam. That was another clip from DJ Cosmonique. You don't even know, Wake Up Angels. And just to briefly go over some of the shows upcoming, and we have an awesome, awesome lineup. Next week, I have Paula Moran back on. Paula Moran is an enlightened spiritual master. She's also an emissary to Santa Gomorrah. So we'll get into that next week. July 15th, I have Amy coming on from the Star Child Project. Now, this is going to be an awesome show because we are going to connect some big dots, and I'm going to explain why. The Star Child skull, just so you know, is a genuine 900-year-old bone skull found in Mexico in the 1930s. They've done DNA tests on it and all sorts of testing, and the new DNA testings indicate that the Star Child skull may very well be alien because there's nothing that matches its DNA and stuff here on the planet. So this thing is definitely not from our planet. And with this show, we're also going to have on Mike from the Morgellons Research Foundation. Now, I spoke about Mike, and I've been talking about them for a while now because they have been doing research on the chemtrails and the nanofibers found in the chemtrails that is linked to the Morgellons disease. Now, oddly enough, on the StarChildProject.com website, they also have a match between some of the Star Child skull and also some of these nanofibers. So I'm going to get the Morgellons Research Group and the Star Child Project, both of them, on the show with a couple scientists to talk about this and connect some major dots. So that's going to be an awesome show. July 22nd, I have Mario, the Keeper of Poncho, the Crystal Skull, coming on. This is the new generation Crystal Skull. I just spent time with it last week with Mario and Monty and Poncho out in NYC, and it was awesome. We participated in a water ceremony there, and amazing energy. I just want to thank the universe for that, and it was an honor to go out there. So thank you guys, and check out ponchothecrystalskull.com. And on July 29th, we have Michael Elgin coming back on. That's prepareforthelandings.com. He'll be coming back on the show. And on August 5th, I have Monty, who is the keeper of the crystal pod. So check out thecrystalpod.com. And, of course, all these articles that we talked about on the show will be on Star Seed Energy Radio and updates and everything else. So check that out, as well as my Twitter. And also check out the Zen 11M website. We're still looking for sponsors and to get people involved and really manifest the world's strongest, awesomest event for 11-11-11. And that is coming to fruition. So this is it, Star Fam. Start spreading awareness, and people are waking up all over the world. So send them to this site, send them to anywhere, send them to this information, the subjects we talk about, because the energies are here and people are awakening in the masses. If you have been following our show, you will hear and feel every week how my intent, how the show's intent, and our voices together will vibrate loud through this universe, I promise you. So we're all leaders on this, and it's time for our time to rise. It's the great awakening is happening. It's real, and it's happening. And we are the star children. We are love. We are light. And no one or no power on this planet can keep us down, can keep the light down. And I got a lot of that to give, and so does the world. So let's unite together. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, Star Fam. Have a safe and enlightened week ahead. And we'll be talking to you next week. We'll finish off with Cosmonique and Wake Up Angels.
Get after the end. Don't you know? It's after the end of the world. So you better sign up. You better sign up. Space is the place. The negative is what you don't know.
And the negative is what you don't have.
The negative is what you don't have.
Do you know what the truth is? Do you know what truth is? I'll tell you what the truth is.